This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. This is New Beginnings. I am Freddie Bell. Glad you're with us today. And coming up on the show, many of our favorite partners, including Leibel Sternbach is here, Joe McKenzie, and friends from AARP Minnesota. All this plus the words to the wise on New Beginnings. And our program is underway right now. And joining us now is Dr. Michael Osterholm. He's an epidemiologist and advises presidents of the United States on all things COVID. Dr. Osterholm, welcome to the program. From your perspective, can you share with us where you believe the overall trust level is with regard to vaccines, be it RSV, COVID, or the flu vaccine, stands right now with people in the country?
What's happening is our messaging is getting so confusing and leaving people frustrated to the point where they're losing trust that we know what we're doing in this country with vaccines. And I think this is really becoming a public health messaging disaster. I'm very concerned. As we discussed earlier, COVID activity is increased in the U.S., and we don't have our most important line of defense. The old bivalent booster dose is not going to do the job, and we need this new booster. And as the timeline shifts back, the longer we go without these boosters, the longer we go unprotected. Those of us who have been staying up to date with our vaccine doses are coming up on 1 year from when the BA.5 booster was first available, and we eagerly want to get it as soon as we could. Why did the companies indicate they could have this available in late July or August, a period that's already passed, and yet now we're hearing about it might not be till October? This lack of clear direction from our federal agencies, I think, is taking a toll. Let me provide some context as it relates to the UK and how they're messaging. They issued a statement 2 days ago on August 8th, is the clarity that we're seeing out of our colleagues in the UK. And so I urge that, if nothing else, even if the vaccines can't make it sooner, which I'd like an explanation of why, what is it that we can tell the public so that they can plan and prepare for this, particularly now as many are getting more anxious and they want to get vaccinated? So I hope this message is heard. I am sure sharing it with my colleagues in the administration. come on, get your act together at this point. I think it's really a challenge. And we don't want to lose people because of a lack of confidence. We already have that challenge with booster dose use, and we don't need to further that challenge anymore.
As we continue moving into the fall, I understand there will be 3 vaccines recommended for everyone: the RSV vaccine, the flu vaccine, and the COVID vaccine. Can all 3 be taken at the same time?
Well, this adds on to my frustration with communication. And it's one that, again, I think that we unfortunately and unnecessarily are shooting ourselves in the foot in terms of what we're trying to communicate to the public. You know, we've seen an effort by some, particularly leaders in the FDA, try to push the idea that COVID is a seasonal disease, i.e., like a wintertime flu virus or RSV, which typically more often occurs in the wintertime, and to try to work it into that routine program of vaccination. Yet here we are talking about people who are calling this summertime seasonal issue the season. Okay, it's very confusing at best. And so in that light, I think that we've had a situation where people have been talking about, well, to capture our patient population, wouldn't it be great if we could vaccinate for all 3 of these at one time? You know, cover what those who call this the triple-demic witching hour with this vaccine. Well, I think this is potentially a major challenge, if not potentially a major disaster. And I say that very carefully, because, in fact, there has been substantial discussion already over the course of the approval process for the RSV vaccine, a vaccine which I truly very strongly support, and I can't wait to get my dose. But even if you go back to the VRBPAC meeting, the advisory group to the FDA, on February 28th, VRBPAC members inquired of the FDA about whether or not you could give these vaccines simultaneously without seeing some reduction in overall vaccine immune response for the other 2 vaccines, i.e. COVID and influenza. And there is a growing body of data that says you do not want to give these vaccines at the same time. because there may be some kind of interference that can occur with them. So first of all, let me be really clear. I want everyone who is eligible for these vaccines to get them. I very strongly support that. Right now, we are aware that at least in some pharmacies in the United States, RSV vaccine is available, and getting it right now would be great. Unlike the flu vaccine or even COVID vaccines, we're not nearly concerned about waning immunity with the RSV vaccine. So one can get it now and be protected for some time to come, which then gets us to the issue with the coronavirus vaccine. We need it now. You know, we may have a increased occurrence this winter again with more cases, but I know we have cases occurring right now that would benefit immensely. So get your RSV vaccine, get it now. Get COVID when it becomes available. And as I have said time and time again, wait and get your influenza vaccine much closer to the time for which there will actually be activity in your community. Last year, that was early. So getting it in October was not a bad thing. But we know that there is a reduction in the overall protection from influenza vaccine that may be anywhere from several percent up to almost 20% per month after receiving the vaccine, a reduction in the protection from that vaccine. So if you're out 5 months, you do the math. You know, how much reduction in protection might you have with that vaccine? So that's why I always wait and follow very closely what's happening with influenza in our communities. And when I start to see the first activity of flu, I get vaccinated. I don't get vaccinated in August or September or whenever. And I definitely would not this year try to tie my RSV vaccine to my flu vaccine. So we need clarity on this as soon as possible. And again, we're not getting it from our federal agencies and particularly from the FDA. And so I think that this is going to be another issue where people are going to say, wait a minute, I shouldn't get my three vaccines together. Just solve it by coming out with a clear and compelling statement of the data. What do they show? And if I'm wrong and the data support, you can give all three with an equally great response, go for it. I know that's not the case. And so at the same time, for someone to say, wait a minute, I got all three vaccine doses, and now you're telling me that maybe that's not what I should have done. That's what's going to just breed more confusion and lack of trust for what we're doing in our business. So get your RSV vaccine as soon as possible. Get your COVID vaccine when it becomes available, which will be a while, and time your influenza vaccine such that you're keeping track of what's happening in your community with flu, and get it as soon as you can when flu activity starts. Then I think you'll get the maximum protection from all three vaccines, which are important. And again, I'm a very, very strong supporter of these three. I can't wait to get my three this fall. I can't wait. But I, at the same time, worry that we're setting ourselves up for another real challenge from a data credibility and trust perspective.
He's our favorite epidemiologist, Dr. Michael Osterholm, and thank you so much for being with us this weekend on New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Visit my all-new freddiebell.com website. Get up close and personal with me as a speaker, motivator, and broadcaster. Read what others have to say when they've hired me as a keynote speaker and presenter. And learn why I'm the authority on the power of focus. Download the marketing kit or contact me directly at 888-639-9738. When you're there, stop by my all-new Freddie Bell Show webpage at freddiebell.com. freddiebell.com. Information, motivation, innovation, and more.
Thank you for joining us on New Beginnings. And just for fun, I'm wondering, how far do you think you can drive on an empty tank of gas? While driving your vehicle on low fuel or an empty tank can damage your ride or even lead to a crash, it's still nice to know how far you can go when the empty light comes on. Most automobile manufacturers build in about a gallon of reserve fuel beyond the empty line. But if your daily commute is only a handful of round trips, some cars can go on for days on empty. I'm wondering how far you can go. Just go to my website, freddiebell.com, or download the app and let me know. Four things you didn't know yesterday. It's time to upgrade your IQ. Number one, blue whales have hearts that weigh about 1,300 pounds. Number two, fortune cookies are not from China, but can be traced back to Japan. Number three, there's a book on Amazon entitled, Does It Fart? The Definitive Guide to Animal Flatulence. And number four, yes, that's true. And number four, the world's largest known snowflake measures 15 inches across and fell in Montana in 1887. It's wacky, but it's true. A man in China was arrested for stealing hundreds of grill ornaments from luxury cars. The 25-year-old was busted after he was caught removing the circular grill emblem from a parked Mercedes-Benz. And tell me whether this is motivational or anti-motivational. Monday is an awful way to spend 1/7 of your life for a week. Number two, the sooner you fall behind, the more time you'll have to catch up. Number three, if you must choose between two evils, pick the one that you've never tried before. And number four, if you think nobody cares about you, try missing a couple of payments. Just for fun this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us.
One out of every 100 people over the age of 65 will become a victim of financial fraud.
Never saw it coming.
He wiped us out.
This must be stopped.
They told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
He wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
Is having a bigger social security check always better? Discover how a smaller check might actually help you retire sooner.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now's my favorite time of the program when we turn our attention to talk finance with Label Sternbach. He's Amazon's best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and also the author of the book Authenticity. We're talking about your money, particularly with Social Security. And Label, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. I got a big question for you as we start the show. Which do you think is more important, Label, having a large bank account or a large SS benefit check?
I think neither of those are important. I have seen too many people on too many opposite ends of the spectrum to think that either one actually makes a difference. I think, you know, it's really about how you use it, right? And how you use it to fund your lifestyle. I literally every day, and this is like one of the great things about my job, is I get to work with people who have no money, and I get to work with people who have massive amounts of wealth. And the concerns that both of them have are the same, but their ability to address them and the ability for them to live their lifestyle is really all that matters. And it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. It doesn't matter how much you're getting from Social Security. you know, what really matters is your lifestyle and, you know, what your resources are for maintaining that lifestyle.
Interesting. So when you're meeting with all these different people that you talked about just a second ago from all these different walks of life, what happens? How do you help them to figure out if they have enough money, number one, number two, when they should file, and then number three, where they should take their money from?
Yeah. So I'm a very big believer that financial decision and really any decision in life needs to be super glaringly obvious, right? It needs to be that a no-brainer of that this is what the right decision to do is. And if we haven't gotten to the point where this is a no-brainer decision, that means that we haven't done the work, that we don't really understand the question we're asking, or we're asking the wrong question, or we haven't, you know, really dived into the details well enough to be able to make a sound decision. Because once we really understand the question we're asking and we're asking the right question, then the answer becomes super obvious, right? So when it comes to Social Security and it comes to, you know, when should we take it, the real question, right, becomes, and the way that we answer this is we look at, where are we today? What are our financial resources? And where do we want to be, right? Let's define what the ultimate lifestyle looks like, right? And for some people, that means, you know, that means sitting on the beach all day and, you know, seeing their kids and grandkids on the holidays. For other people, it means traveling the world, right? And everyone is different. So we need to define what life looks like and what we want it to be. And then we look at our resources and we say, okay, these are the resources that we have in order to create that goal. These are the things that are the obstacles that are standing in our way. These are the things that are helping us get there. These are the threats that if we do not address can completely ruin our financial, you know, success. And then here are the opportunities that we can take advantage of, the low-hanging fruits that if we took advantage of them would completely set us up for success and can help us, you know, have a much better lifestyle. And in answering those questions, we then create a plan of action that says, hey, this is what we should be doing. This is how we should doing it, how we should be doing it, because this is what will get us our goals. And that may mean taking Social Security early. That may be delaying Social Security. I have a client right now who literally every conversation I have with him, all I do, he asks me every time, should I file for Social Security? And I keep telling him, no, you need to delay filing for Social Security. He wants to get it. He wants to get his money. He doesn't want to wait. He doesn't want the government to, you know, hold on to it for a day longer. Except for him, delaying will actually make him so much more money because of taxes, because of investments, because of his entire financial situation. It makes sense for him to delay. Other people, not so much. There's other people who I'm like, I want you to backdate your application and I want you to have gotten it 6 months ago, because that will, you know, set you up for success. So really it's, you got to do the hard work. And I hate to say it, right? Everyone wants a magic answer, but there are no magic answers. You got to do the hard work.
There's a friend of mine who recently passed away. He was 70 years old, Label. And he got sick. He turned on his benefits. And he passed away 2 months later.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So what do you say to that family?
I say to that family, the question is, you know, whether how much money he got from Social Security is kind of irrelevant. Did he have the lifestyle that he wanted? Was he able to enjoy that time? And if he was delaying just to get a bigger check, I say that wasn't a real reason to do it, right? Like, I mean, because we never know when we're going to go. What really matters is, you know, enjoying the time that we have on this earth and making sure that our loved ones are set up for success. And here's the thing, right? Sometimes that means a little bit of sacrifice during our life so that we know that our loved ones are taken care of when the time comes. And maybe that means we're living a little below our means. Maybe we're not enjoying as much, because it gives us happiness. It gives us peace of mind knowing that the people who survive us are going to have a bigger check, or they're going to have more financial security. And there's no math in the world that can tell you which one's the right answer.
Interesting. So do you think as we make these decisions, as we look at our own individual lives, where should the money come from first, from the retirement accounts or from your taxable accounts?
So I'm a big fan of spending down the retirement accounts first, most of the time, not all the time, because usually we want to spend down the retirement accounts first because of required minimum distributions, which is, you know, Congress has attached this nice little spigot to our retirement accounts that's designed to drain them while we're still alive, and they get to control how fast they take the money out. So usually we want to get rid of those as quickly as possible because of that tax liability. And when we take the money out, we pay the highest tax possible. However, there are times where I tell people, you know, the amount of money that you have in your retirement accounts doesn't really make a difference in terms of required minimum distributions. And in fact, the tax benefits we have of letting that money grow is more beneficial to us than, you know, taking it out and depleting that balance. So it really depends on everyone's unique situation.
We're talking with Label Sternbach, and if you'd like more information about this, tell us about some of the resources that you have at yieldsforyou.com, Label.
Yeah, so if you go to yieldsforyou.com and you go to the resources section, we have a whole bunch of guides over there that will walk you through all of the decisions that you really got to make in this time period where you're transitioning into retirement, whether that's researching, do I have enough money to retire? How do I, you know, decrease my taxes? How do I make the most of my investments? How do I make sure that my loved ones get my assets and are protected when I'm gone? All that information, I've got step-by-step guides on the website. We also host a whole number of ongoing classes that you can join, as well as you can access for a nominal fee, you can access a bunch of our previous classes that have, you know, a whole host of videos step by step. And as well as, you know, feel free to book an appointment with us because, you know, we're here to help answer your questions. And, you know, really, we're on a mission to help 1 million people retire with financial security. We do that through, you know, this free education, you know, and free and paid classes. But, you know, reaching out one on one, you know, not a lot of people take us up on that offer. But the people who we do, as we have availability on our calendar, you know, feel free to jump on and we're more than happy to help.
What about the strategies for people who are looking to retire? So are there some recommended strategies for those who want to create an income stream for their retirement from their accounts?
Like investment strategies?
Yes.
There are no one size fits all when it comes to that, because like I said, right, and we've talked about this a lot on the show, it's about creating the ride that you're comfortable with, right? So there are lots of tools in the toolbox that we can use to create that ride. And so there isn't a one size fits all. What I will tell you right now, right, is money market funds are yielding really nicely, right? So if all you need is to beat inflation and not by much, then you should have a portion of your money in a money market fund. You still need more money, that you need to grow your money faster than that. So, you know, you need to take on some risk. And there's lots of off-the-shelf stuff that will be just fine, but really it's all about the plan.
So finally, what are some of the best ways that a retiree can create a steady income stream labeled in retirement?
So the best way to create a steady income stream in retirement is forget about the investments. It's about having the financial plan that says, where is your income coming from, and separating your money out. I have something that I call the 321 retirement plan. You can go on my website. We've got videos. We've got a how-to guide. We even have a little wizard that will walk you through creating your own 321 retirement plan. And what that does is it helps you divide your money into three buckets. That's the three, right? So you have your money that you're going to live on for the next year or two. You have the money that you're going to replenish your saving, your spending account from, and then you have the money that you're going to invest for your future. And when you look at your money and you differentiate, you know, the time horizons for it, it kind of lets you pick the investments that are right for it, right? The money that you're going to be living off of, that shouldn't be as risky as the money that's for your future, right? So a money market fund works really well for that immediate money. For the money that you're going to use in the near term to replenish your spending money, you want to take on a little bit more risk, but you don't want to go crazy. So there's, you know, a world of investment options that you can look at. You know, and maybe a target date fund is there. I'm not very a big fan of target date funds right now. But generally speaking, you know, in normal markets, they're a good option for that. And then you've got your long into the future, which if you want to just be buy and hold, right, go buy the S&P 500 and hold it in there. And, you know, as it grows, you harvest your growth and you move it. And I walk through that entire strategy in on our website in that 321 plan and how to implement it. But it really starts with that fundamental of having that income plan.
Is there anything on the website about the 321 plan?
100%. Straight on the website, you go on the website, we've got guides, we've got checklists, we've got videos, we've got webinars, we've even got a tool for creating your own plan, or you can book with us, and if we've got availability, we'll create a free plan for you.
The website we were just mentioning, it's yields4u.com. That's yields, the number four, the letter u.com. Label, thanks for being with us, and I invite everyone to join us next week. Why? Because we're going to dive into the five key questions that every retiree needs to ask themselves if they want to make sure that they don't run out of money in retirement. If you'd like to run out of money in retirement, raise your hand. I thought so. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Label's website is Yields for You. That's yieldsforyou.com. Yields, the number four, the letter U.com. I'm Freddie Bell, and more New Beginnings is straight ahead.
Since its release, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell has inspired tens of thousands. And in these times, words of encouragement can be the difference. How about you? Could daily affirmations and words of encouragement make a difference in your life? Find out with your very own copy of Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Available at Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you for listening to The Freddie Bell Show, and it happened this week. In 1875, Captain Matthew Webb of Great Britain became the first person to swim the English Channel with no assistance. In 1916, the National Park Service was created as a part of the Department of the Interior. In 1921, the United States signed a peace treaty with Germany. In 1946, in sports, golfer Ben Hogan captured the PGA Championship. It was his first major title. In 1950, President Harry S. Truman ordered the Army to take command of the nation's railroad service due to an imminent railroad strike. In 1984, author Truman Capote died at the age of 59. His books, Breakfast at Tiffany's and In Cold Blood, became movies. In 1986, Paul Simon released his Graceland album. In 1998, former child actor Gary Coleman pled innocent to the charge that he hit a woman in a mall after she had sought his autograph. Coleman was working at the mall as a security guard. In 2001, singer and actress Aaliyah was killed in an airplane crash in the Bahamas at the age of 22. The small Cessna plane crashed a few minutes after takeoff, killing everyone on board with exception of four passengers who were pulled from the wreckage but later died. Aaliyah had been filming a video for her latest release, Rock the Boat, on the island. And finally, in 2012, astronaut pioneer Neil Armstrong, the first man to walk on the moon, died at the age of 82. Upon landing upon the moon in 1969, Armstrong uttered the famous quote, "One small step for a man, one giant leap for mankind." It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell. Even though the federal COVID public health emergency has ended, it's important to take steps to protect yourself from the virus. The ending of the public health emergency does not change the availability of COVID-19 vaccines. Vaccines will continue to be provided by the federal government through the Public Readiness and Emergency Preparedness Act. It's also anticipated that COVID-19 vaccines will transition to the private market in early fall. You can learn more details about the transitions at the Minnesota Department of Health.
Did you know that now you can see and hear Sunday morning services from Unity South Twin Cities? Search Unity South Twin Cities online and Facebook and catch the live stream Sunday mornings at 10:30 on Facebook.com.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us.
And now, our supporting partner, AARP in the Twin Cities.
And now we're joined by AARP Minnesota Associate State Director Jay Hapala on New Beginnings. Thanks for being here, Jay.
Thanks. It's always good to be with you.
Always fun to find out what's going on with AARP, and you've got a lot going on we want to get to today on New Beginnings. First, we're going to talk about livable communities, and then we're going to talk about some upcoming free conferences you have a little bit later on this month. But first, when you think AARP, you think about a community of people getting along, holding hands, singing kumbaya. Isn't that right, Jay?
Well, they're not all created equally. And when we talk about livable communities at AARP, we're talking about a broad range of community features that are really built for people. And we're talking about places where people can go for a walk, places where people can afford their home and get all the services and healthcare they need. People need to be included in civic life and have work and have a good job, and not only have the job, but be able to get there and volunteer if they choose. So you can tell already I'm talking about a broad range of issues. And, you know, with AARP, we're well known for our advocacy at the federal government, with state governments, but we also work with local governments. Because for our members and all people of any age, what happens in Washington, D.C. is important, but so is what happens in your own neighborhood and in your community. And so that's why we do this work.
So we're talking about communities, and it's so much more than a place you come home, hang your hat until the next day when you go to work. It truly is folks getting together, meeting one-on-one, sharing time together in their neighborhood, and they're talking over the fence on their front porch, and that's all good stuff.
I think so. People can have some influence and have a voice in their community and really make changes that are good for people who live there. So that's what we're trying to support at AARP. And one way that we do that is through our network of age-friendly communities. So right now, here we are in 20 Minnesota communities, and the state of Minnesota itself have joined AARP's network of age-friendly communities. And by doing so, it's not that they're seeking some sort of stamp of approval that you might see in AARP the magazine, like when we publish the best places to retire or the best places to take a vacation if you're over the age of 50. Instead, we're talking about membership in this network, which is a commitment by local leaders and the residents that they go through a five-year process to study the issues. Like I said at the beginning here, it could be housing and transportation and social inclusion and the services that people need. But they go through this process to assess how well they're doing in these different domains of livability. They make an action plan, and then they implement those changes. And this is already happening in 20 places across the state. It's also growing, so there are many more communities that are interested in joining this network, and we want to work with everyone across the state. In the Twin Cities here, Minneapolis, Hennepin County, Maple Grove, Oakdale, and Brooklyn Park have these local committees, and they're involved in this initiative, and we'd welcome more to join us.
And also what you've got coming up, Jay Hapala, is a couple of free conferences that is going to be partly online and partly in person here at the end of September. Please talk about that.
That's right. And we're very excited about this. It's really the first conference that we've been able to offer in partnership with Age Friendly Minnesota. So this is the Governor's Council appointed by Governor Walz, and with an expanding network of organizations and individuals who are working across the state on these issues. And we at AARP are hosting a conference with them on September 27th, 28th, and 29th. So those first 2 days are virtual on the computer, and anyone can participate without needing to travel or anything like that. Friday on the third day of the conference, we are meeting in person at 8 different locations around the state. There are 2 of them here in the Twin Cities to choose from. On the on the University of Minnesota campus and say on the St. Paul side, and then over at the Minnesota Humanities Center. So we encourage people to attend the webinar part of the conference as well as the in-person part of the conference. It's September 27th, 28th, and 29th. And this is not so much a lecture where we're going to tell everyone what they ought to learn, but instead, as is the spirit of this, these programs that we offer in livable communities, it's a chance for participants to have a voice. The issues in one part of the Twin Cities are going to be different than they are in another part of the city or another part of the state. So we need people to have a voice and join us in this conference to do so. It's easy to find online. The website is aarp.org/MN events.
All right. I want to give you those dates again. September 27th, 28th, and 29th. First 2 days are virtual. Third day in person on September 29th. And the website again is aarp.org/MN events. That's where you go to sign up. aarp.org/MN events. Jay Hapla, AARP Minnesota Associate State Director, thank you for being with us today on New Beginnings.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
One out of every 100 people over the age of 65 will become a victim of financial fraud.
Never saw it coming.
He wiped us out.
This must be stopped.
They told us we had no choice.
The Center for Combating Elder Financial Abuse conducts extensive research and provides comprehensive training to individuals and organizations to help prevent elder financial abuse.
He wiped us out.
How could this happen?
Join the fight at endefa.org.
Hi there. Thank you for joining us this weekend on New Beginnings. And today is National Teddy Bear Day. Today honors the history of one of childhood's favorite toys. We have all had a special cuddly teddy as a child, and some of us still have our teddy bear from our childhood. No matter what kind of teddy bear you had, the day is a perfect time to celebrate your childhood friend. Back in 1902, American President Theodore Roosevelt refused to shoot a bear cub while hunting in Mississippi. The incident made national news. Clifford Berryman published a cartoon of the event in the Washington Post on November 16, 1902, and the caricature became an instant classic. That cartoon inspired New York store owner Morris Mitchum. He created a new toy and even had a name in mind. He wrote President Roosevelt to ask permission to name the new toy a teddy bear. A teddy bear does not depend on mechanics to give him the semblance of life. He is loved, and therefore he lives. Since the advent of the teddy bear, a parade of famous characters followed. Big Bird from Sesame Street named his teddy bear Radar. The lasagna-loving cat celebrated on Garfield the Cat Day, armed himself with Pookie, his lovable scapegoat, and the British invasion of the teddy bears includes Winnie the Pooh and Paddington. In 1981, the Care Bears became greeting cards, and not long after, they launched into television and toy history. And let's not forget the Muppet character, Fozzie Bear.
Are you ready, comedy partner? Waka waka.
That lovable bear perseveres with one-liner slapstick and musical comedy. Let's celebrate our favorite teddy bear on National Teddy Bear Day. We'll be right back.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org. Since its release, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell has inspired tens of thousands. And in these times, words of encouragement can be the difference.
How about you? Could daily affirmations and words of encouragement make a difference in your life? Find out with your very own copy of Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Available at Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you for listening to New Beginnings. You can stay up to date with this show. All you have to do is go to Google or to Apple and download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app. Yes, download the Freddie Bell Radio Shows app, and you'll be up to date on everything concerning this show and anything related to Freddie Bell. More to come. Stay with us. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
The popular author Marianne Williamson said in her first and most famous book, A Return to Love, that God, the divine, speaks to us in a way we can hear. That's comforting. God gets our attention uniquely. For some of us, it's on Sunday morning in a beautiful worship service with wonderful music and focused prayer that some of us grasp that idea of the Christ incarnation, Christ within. Others explore this world of wonders in many ways. The arts, exploring nature. And there, they really get it. They get that idea. Others reach a hand out to the world, encouraging the disheartened, feeding the hungry, visiting those that are in some form of bondage, mental or imprisoned. They reach out and serve another, lifting another up. And that's how they get the idea. I tried to convey last week in the Easter lesson this idea of service, ministering, helping another. For those of us that have most of our life needs met, we're relatively comfortable. Some are extremely comfortable and blessed with many things. People that live in abundance, if you think about it, they only get this idea, they only find this joy through reaching out and helping those who don't have as much. Think about it. Their prayers, their desires, their dreams, their goals have been met. Where are they going to find joy? But in helping others discover the goodness of God. And for those of us that have limitations or lack in our life, our joy comes when someone comes to help us, to lift us up, to encourage us, a teacher, an aid, someone that helps you, and then you get it, this grand idea. I must be worth something. Carol came to my aid. Gerald thought I was worthy of help, of a little boost. As Marianne Williamson said, God speaks to us in a way that we can hear uniquely our way. Rohr goes on to describe this incarnational world view. The divine, the Christ, is permeating all. He describes it as an idea in which matter and spirit are understood to have never been separated. Rudolf Steiner said it very simply and briefly, which is kind of unusual for Rudolf Steiner. And he said, there is never matter, this material stuff, there is never matter that is not filled with spirit. And there is never spirit in isolation that is not expressing somehow in matter. Many of us have believed God up there, we're alone down here. The Christ idea, it's all one. It's all one. Our part is to understand that. In the church, we would say it is our job to hold the faith, to believe in the unlimited possibilities that good will express in each and every situation. This view relies more, listen, on awakening than joining some spiritual community. It relies more on awakening than joining, more on seeing than obeying, more on growth in consciousness and love than on clergy, experts, morality, scriptures, or rituals. The code word that Rohr chooses for this worldview, this perspective on life, is simply Christ. And in our tradition, it is, you know, Christ within. So I invite you this week, we'll begin in a moment of silence, but play with this preposition and this proposition. Play with this idea of divinity, of God's presence, of the risen one, of the anointed, of the power, of the good. Is it located within you? Or is it your proposition, your perspective, your worldview, how you see others, how you see this world, how you see the possibilities, how you see the path before you? It is a world of wonders. So let's take a moment and turn within. I'm going to speak a very old form of this idea. It inspired our prayer for protection that we speak every Sunday, and hopefully more often than that. It was taken from the 5th century prayer attributed to St. Patrick. St. Patrick's breastplate is protection. And I'll speak it in part. I invite you to close your eyes and let this go to the very center, the very withinness of your being. Be Christ this day my strong protector against poison and wounding, through reward wide and plenty, Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ to the right of me, Christ to the left of me. Christ is in my lying, my sitting, my rising. Christ is heart of all who know me. Christ on tongue of all who meet me. Christ in eye of all who see me. Christ in ear of all who hear me.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the senior minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org. Thanks for joining me this weekend, and here are today's words of the wise. Life is a song to sing. In the grand orchestra of existence, remember that life is a beautiful song waiting to be sung. Embrace each moment with a melody of passion and purpose. Find your unique voice and let it resonate with the world. Discover harmony in the highs and the lows, for every note shapes your story. Take the verses of joy, the bridges of challenges, and the choruses of love. Your song is a gift to share, inspiring others to find their own melody. So sing with all your heart and let the music of life fill the air with hope, courage, and an enduring legacy. If you'd like to learn more, just download the Freddie Bell Radio Show's app for more Words to the Wise. That's our show, and thanks to our special guests for stopping by and sharing information that we hope can change lives. If you missed any of today's show, you can subscribe to our podcast or just Google Freddie Bell or stop by my website of the same name. Thanks for listening, and remember that each day is a chance for a new beginning. See you next week.